Hello everyone, and welcome to the most level design game dev podcast in the world, House of Games. I'm your co-host Rune, and today I'm joined by my host, whose name does not roll off your tongue at all when speaking English. Your parents should have thought about that. It's you, Otto! And a very special guest who made it to the top 10 PUBG solo leaderboard before realizing he was late for a vanilla WoW raid, showed up late and totally ruined it a la Leroy Jenkins style. A big welcome to Nils Westgaard. But before I give you the chance to brag about all that, let us smash in the front door of this week's episode of House of Games.
Welcome everyone to this episode of House of Games, and as always with me I have Rune, my co-host, and we also have a special guest, and this time it's Nils from Assemble. First of all, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us more about what you do?
Sure, well thank you for having me first of all. So my name is Nils Westgaard and I am 34 years old. I feel like I'm getting up there, definitely feel it in my back today. But yeah, I am the CEO and one of the co-founders of Assemble. And Assemble is a new company that we started about a year ago now. And we're trying to build LinkedIn for the game industry. Before I did that, I lived in San Francisco for 10 years and worked in advertising, marketing, design, kind of threaded it towards the end. And I saw an opportunity when the pandemic hit to switch gears and get into the game industry. So yeah, that's kind of the very short story of my life and career, I guess.
Cool. And marketing in San Francisco, that sounds kind of advanced. Do you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah.
What was that all about?
I grew up in Gothenburg, and when I was 22, I moved to San Francisco to study advertising. And I did that for 3 years. And then after that, I kind of just got stuck there for better or worse. It was a lot of fun. I worked in an advertising agency that was kind of focused on interactive experiences and online kind of stunts and that sort of thing. So not like TV commercials. And I got to work on all kinds of big brands, both exciting ones and not so exciting ones. Everything from like Visa cards and Levi's jeans to Nvidia and Activision Blizzard. So that's kind of where I started out in my career. And as a gamer, it was a lot of fun working with Call of Duty and Destiny and Nvidia as well. So yeah, that's kind of where I started in San Francisco. And then I went on to Lyft, which is Uber's competitor in North America. So a ride-sharing service. And I was there for 3 years. And when the pandemic struck in America, there was a lot of shutdowns, right? So you weren't supposed to be near strangers. So riding in a car with a stranger was not really a thing that people did anymore. And so
right.
I woke up one morning and me and 1,200 people had been let go, which was interesting. But yeah, I mean, I saw it as an opportunity to kind of start something new. And I'd been thinking about moving into the game industry and trying that out for a couple of years. But since I was comfortable in my job, I really never, you know, took that chance. But, you know, here was, and I kind of came back to Sweden and started studying at Uppsala University, Campus Visby. And that's kind of where all this started. And now I'm building a platform for game developers so that I can help people with the things that I struggled with when I was trying to start in that kind of career.
Cool. So this Assemble, that's, I suppose, international audience. I mean, it's for everyone around the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's open for anyone anywhere to sign up, and it's very much geared only towards the game industry, or rather game development. So even for hobbyists or students, all the way to veterans and AAA studios, that is the idea. It's a home for anyone interested or working in game development. We're primarily focused on Sweden and the Nordics right now. We launched 10 months ago, and currently there's 1,200 people or so Ensemble. Most of them are still in Sweden, but we have some users in all corners of the world. There's one person in Peru that we saw had an all Spanish profile, so I hope they get something out of it. But currently, it's really very focused on Sweden at the moment.
So I went through the website, read about it. It was a lot of fancy words that I didn't quite understand. So I'm the idiot on this podcast, but I sort of understood what it was all about. How would you differentiate it from, for example, Fiverr or freelancer.com, I think it's called? Because I actually hired someone in the past from one of these websites. But is this like you hire them as like full-time, or is it, yeah, why is it different from those places?
Yeah, and that's not a stupid question. So currently we're not really focused on freelancers per se. Rather, we're building a kind of professional career community platform for game developers. So that could mean anyone who's anything from a student to a freelancer, like you mentioned, or somebody's working full-time but looking for another job, or a studio looking to hire somebody for a full-time position. So the closest thing to what we're building, or closest analogy, is, I guess, LinkedIn. But we're solely focused on the game industry.
That's really cool.
We have plans on building something more akin to what you would find on like Fiverr, for example, shorter freelance gigs as well. But that's further down our roadmap. But essentially, we want to be a kind of companion to your game development career, no matter what stage you're in or what kind of level you're at, so to speak.
I like this idea, like, because in Umeå right now, there's talks about making this House of Game, which is how this podcast sort of started and all of that. And I believe that one of the ideas was that you would have all the game companies under one roof, very few of them at the moment in Umeå. And then I remember someone said sort of like, well, imagine that you work for Turborilla and you work as an animator, and then I need an animator. Then that person is in literally in the same room or the same house and can come down and help me.
Yeah.
This sounds like that, but, you know, way bigger, of course, and you can probably work from home, or and it also give opportunities to get a gig somewhere else and move there. So that's really cool. And I like that sort of that you focus only on the games, because that's the problem I found when I tried to find a freelancer to help me with the it was coding when I started out making games. And it was just like, I remember hiring someone and I asked him to do this function. He did it, and it was, you know, he did it, but it was just so poorly implemented. And I couldn't really say like, well, you know, I'm not going to pay you because this is not what I wanted. But so you could sort of tell that he wasn't a gamer. He was just a programmer. And not really into games. So he did what I asked him to, and that's, you know, that's fair game. But this assemble, that's specifically for gamers. So I can imagine if I were to hire someone for a shorter gig or whatever, it feels like that person probably knows what it is I'm asking for, because it's very gaming focused. So I think the quality will be way better from a place like Assemble.
Yeah, I hope so. The plan for Assemble is that it will be, like I said, a companion for your gaming career throughout it, every step of the way. So at some point you might need assistance from another person who's more experienced in a certain thing. Maybe then you could find them there. Maybe you're a student who's just looking to work with somebody else. You could find people on Assemble as well. Or you're, you know, a studio looking to hire someone, then you can find people there as well. But we're also adding other features like events, and you can build a portfolio and have a blog and things today. But like I said earlier, we're only like 10 months into it, so we have an ambitious plan, but we're a small team and trying to build as fast as we can. So
The blog thing is interesting. We talked, or Odo mentioned many times, this rubber duck theory, whatever you said before, Odo. I remember what you said, ish, but not the exact words. But I told Odo I'm gonna start with a blog as well. Maybe I should try to put that on Assemble for funsies to support the project there, because that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, we have a couple of people that have posted like long form blogs breaking down their expertise and kind of approach to how they've done their work, which I think is a really good thing for people coming into game development too, and learning more about different crafts and maybe furthering their skill set by learning from others. And that's something that we want to build on long term as well, in the future, we hope to implement a kind of course category where you could find course material that was added by other users. So maybe you're an expert in a field, then you can do a short course and help other people learn about that subject as well. So this kind of knowledge sharing and helping each other out, I think, is only amplified because of our focus only on game development. You know, if it was another site like Fiverr, you mentioned, there's also Udemy for courses and, of course, LinkedIn for your career. But those are broad. You know, they need to work for a lot of different industries. In a sense, they kind of get muddled, the content gets mixed up, and also they can't go as deep on any given vertical as we're hoping to be able to do with Semble.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I do have like a super geeky question here. On the Semble.gg, first of all, GG, good game, that's awesome.
Yep.
Also, there's a screenshot of your Twitter where you're playing Hearthstone, I believe, in the background. And then if you scroll down to the Explore tab here, you can see like examples of people that you can hire. And their profiles sort of show up as cards. It's very gaming-like, and I just thought that was a cool thing. I don't know if that's intentional, but it feels like you're picking a character from like a Heart of Stone deck or something, except that these are humans.
Yeah, yeah. I've always loved card games. I played more Magic than I should probably publicly disclose. I would probably say the same for Hearthstone. So maybe it was unconscious that I dislike that kind of format. We actually turned our own business cards into the same design. So when we hand people one of our business cards, it looks like the actual card of our profiles on Semble.
That's really cool.
But the whole idea behind the UI design in general is to keep it modern and with an aesthetic that feels familiar to the gaming ecosystem. But then keep it clean and not like overtly communicating that this is about games and game development through the UI, but rather let the content and the people and what they're posting about tell that story. So we don't have like 8-bit characters, you know, saying very clearly that this is about game development. So the UI is clean and then the content is what tells people that this is about game development.
What would you say is the primary argument or arguments for, so say that a game company want to broaden their social media profile. So why should they, this question includes functionality that you have now and that you will build in the future. So why should they choose Semble instead of LinkedIn, for example? What is it that Semble will offer that LinkedIn, for example, cannot?
The most obvious difference is our focus. This is only people who care about game development. We've talked to a lot of game developers and they tend to react in a negative way towards LinkedIn generally. And they really like that this is a focused community. So they can just talk to the people that actually do things that are relevant to what they're themselves are doing. So I guess it's a smaller pond if you want to reach out to people that would be potential hires and things like that. And then the depth in terms of the data, we're working on a feature which we're calling matchmaking. And essentially what that means is that for an individual, you can take your profile, which is your resume essentially, and then you say, these are my preferences when it comes to a job, to a project, and this is what I don't like. So you can explicitly say, for example, I don't want to work on mobile games. I don't want to move. And maybe I don't want to work at a company where they don't allow side projects, for example. So you can add a lot more things that wouldn't be relevant for LinkedIn to add because they need to work on a much higher level for many more industries. You know, they kind of stop at like, oh, I don't want to work remote or whatever, it's very high level preferences. But here you can get very specific about what you're looking for from both sides. So that's another benefit that's coming with matchmaking.
Yeah, and another thing I thought about that is sort of related to maybe marketing or exposure, perhaps. So with the blogs, I think that is a great functionality. But there's two things I think that you could add in my opinion, that would heighten that functionality even more.
Yep. All right. Now I'm taking notes.
Yeah, perfect. So the first thing is that many people forget, or many services forget, I think, is the ability to embed stuff. So say, for example, that a studio want to embed all of their blogs that they make on their website in the news category, for example. They don't have to post it twice, once on their website and once on Semble. And mm-hmm. also, you will get your name out there, just like Imgur, or however you pronounce it. They have that little bar with their logo on it. And if you click on it, you go to the website. So that's one thing I think that many miss out on. And the second one is something that I've picked up on the blogging platform Medium. So on there, you can have something called a publication, which basically means a, imagine it as a playlist, but for blogs. So you can submit a blog as yourself or as part of a publication. Yep. So say, for example, the New York Times. But in this case, it would be, instead of just posting for yourself, you post as a representative of this game studio, for example. And then what that does is that you can have a separate page for the collection or the studio, and then they could just embed that page on their own website, for example. So then they would aggregate everything that is made from their company, and it gives them more exposure. And when you go to their website, you would be able to see that this company here, it's really happening. You know, people are posting stuff and they know what they're doing and all of it, for example. So those are just two things that I thought of just now.
Well, thank you. And if you have any more ideas, feel free to let us know. Like I said, we're 10 months into it and we're a small team. So any feedback is much appreciated, because without it, we're guessing at best. And that's not really a good strategy for product development. So we really appreciate everyone who's been giving us feedback so far, and everyone who will in the future as well. Just yesterday, I met with some students, and it's funny, you know, we have a feature, basically, just to kind of give you context, the profiles on Semble combine a LinkedIn-looking profile, which is essentially your resume, with the portfolio. So you have both your portfolio and your resume in one place on your profile. And then on the portfolio feature, there's another feature called adding collaborators. So you can invite people. And then if you're multiple people, let's say on a student project, instead of each of you having to make your own portfolio update, you can just join one project and then it will automatically sync to all of your profiles. One of the students asked yesterday about, like, oh, this collaborator thing, I used it, but I don't know if it worked for me. Is that supposed to be that way? Is it supposed to not update? And we were like, no, we're just supposed to all have it. But if nobody tells us these things because we're so early, it's really hard for us to find out. So we really appreciate when people let us know that things are broken, or that there's an idea that they may have, or feedback about the existing product experience. Appreciate that a lot.
I really love every time when people who make a service or product are open to feedback and want to be close to their audience. I think that is always something admirable, and something that there's a lot of things to be gained for both sides.
Yeah, I love meeting people in person, and if they've either used Semble before or maybe their friend told them about it. Just one thing is like hearing somebody explain to somebody else what Semble is super interesting to us, because we have our idea, but it might be very different for somebody else. And at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is the people that use the product, what they think of it and how they use it. So that's the reason why we also host monthly meetups in Stockholm. It's a great place to meet the community, have a lot of fun, make new friends, but also for us to ask questions and show what we've been up to and get some feedback in person. So yeah, that's really valuable.
Have you done anything in the games industry except for Semble? It could be anything from game jams to some product of your own or anything like that.
Yeah, so I can tell you a little bit about like how Semble started, because it does encompass that as well. So I was in San Francisco, right, for 10 years, and I've always been a gamer ever since like the first Game Boy. Outside of like poking around with the Warcraft 2 level editor and things like that. Never actually made anything outside of drawing characters and things that I liked. But then I started joining a modding community for Counter-Strike Global Offensive. And I made two really terrible maps, but I was super excited about it. And it was just fun being in that community and getting people to play test your level and things like that. So I was really hooked. And when I came back from San Francisco, I started studying at Uppsala University. But the thing was, this was during the middle of the pandemic, and it was in the middle of the winter as well. I was in the master's program, which had mostly international students. And basically, I think three people or something like that had actually moved to Visby, myself included. So there was nobody around. And I was learning Unity, C# and Blender kind of all on my own. And I was very excited about that and super keen to do bigger projects. And for that, I needed to work with somebody else. And I was just looking around, and there was nobody to be found on this remote island in the middle of winter. So I turned to Discord and Reddit to kind of find people that were also beginners that I could work together with. It was really hard to gauge the level of skill that they had, or what kind of skills that they had, or the level of interest, or what they were looking for. So that's kind of where it started for me in trying to build another service where it would be easier to find people to work with. Fast forward maybe like 10 months, I met my co-founder, Alexander, and he had worked in the game industry before. He worked at Stunlock Studios in Skövde for a couple of years. Then he worked in some gaming startups here in Stockholm, but he actually had another problem, which was, we realized later, was similar. He was looking for a job and he didn't find a place that had all the gaming jobs listed in one place. So he built his own, which is called Sweden Game Jobs. So he basically built that to solve his own problem in finding his next job. When we met, we realized we actually we're kind of tackling the same problem, just from very different ends. It all boils down to finding the right kind of career opportunity for you, no matter, you know, where you're at in your career. So for me as a beginner, the right opportunity at the time was finding somebody to work with. But for him, who had been in the industry for a while, it was about finding the right job. Essentially, it's kind of the same problem. And that's what we built Semble on. I did try to become a game developer, ended up just building a platform and community for game developers instead. So I hope that I can kind of vicariously make games through other people's ambitions of making games, or at least feel like I've contributed in that way.
Interesting. I was actually about to ask if you wanted to make games as well, or how you ended up here. So that was, I guess that answered the question. But would you be interested though to get to make game, like actually make them at some point?
Yeah, I'm still very interested in it, and it's definitely like, I think until I die, if I don't make a game, it's just gonna like eat away at the back of my mind. So I have a lot of game ideas, and now I have way less time than I did when I was studying. But I would love to get to a point where maybe I can join a game jam and get into it that way. That is actually something that we've been talking about, both in putting on our own game jam and also in joining a game jam as a team. But also, we recently added events to Semble. So we have a very basic event system where you can host an event and find other events. That's one thing that we feel can really differentiate as opposed to, you know, Facebook events or LinkedIn events or Eventbrite or meetup.com. Is we can add a lot of functionality that is textually relevant to different types of game development related events. So for example, a game jam, if you were to host one Semble in the future, you might be able to then also have a feature that automatically pairs people up that don't have a team. You can find the team, it's right there. And for like a portfolio review, you could imagine that you pair people up well. And those level of depth, it's not something that you would find on a more kind of generic platform that is supposed to work for every type of event.
Yeah, you seem very passionate about games. Hopefully you can get a job. If only there was a website where you can put up a profile.
Yeah, so if anybody knows of a website where you could build a profile and resume and then a portfolio and find a job, you know, just let me know.
I actually see on the website Shark Mob.
Yep.
It seems to be from London, United Kingdom. So it's not just...
I have an office in Malmö as well.
Okay. They're looking for a producer. Maybe I should apply.
Yeah.
I have experience with 2D anime, titty games, and... it says 2 to 5 years. Fucking hell, imagine if I walk in there as a producer. Well, but they seem to make cool games, though.
Yeah, dream big, you know?
Well, I was just going to say that your story is an epic success story of feature creep. You wanted to make games, so you made a platform to network with other creators first.
Yeah, if I ever make a game, it will be the most feature creep game ever made.
Yeah. Another thing I thought of that we actually talked about a couple of episodes back when we talked to Jenny at Game Boost. So something that the both of us, I think, would want is if there was something like Fiverr or freelancer.com, except you could opt to not have money to trade with, but instead hours. So say, for example, that you are an indie developer. You are very good at programming and you're good at graphics, but you need someone to do the music for your game. And then you have somebody else who is very good at, for example, graphics and music, but they suck at programming. And then you could just swap hours. So if you do 5 hours here, I could do 5 hours for you there. And because a lot of small people like myself, we don't have like a budget for our games, but there still is maybe some idea there that could be something in the future. I would love to have such a feature.
Yeah, I think that's a really fun idea and one that I hadn't thought about before. But in our roadmap, like I said earlier, we're planning on adding a courses section, but then also like a gig marketplace. So like a Fiverr equivalent of sorts, but only for game development related tasks. And so that can definitely be something, because our philosophy is that Assemble needs to work for every level of game development, so that even if you're just getting started as maybe a hobbyist or a student and you don't have a big budget, you should still be able to build a portfolio and your resume and join events, look for jobs, and maybe trade services. I think that would be a cool idea as well. So thank you. I'll add that to the list.
Here's something else, though, I thought of. I don't know if this is related to Assemble specifically, but something that I would want to see in the future of the game industry. So, for example, when a new movie is released, there is always this great premiere, and people go to the red carpet, and there's this big event, and it's on cinema and stuff. But what happens when a new game is released? People buy it and they play it and they maybe talk about it online and stuff, but there is no, like, in reality, you wouldn't be able to tell that a game is released in the same way that, for example, a movie is released. So imagine if there was something similar. You would have, this is maybe hard to do for an indie developer, but still, you would have something in the real world that celebrates that this game is done. Now you can play it. It's available for everyone in the same way that movie premieres have sort of established themselves in culture.
Yeah, I think that would be cool, but it's a problem that I'll let somebody else try to tackle. We're already feature creeped as it is, and we have a long list of requests, and now we have, I think I counted to 3 more, so thank you.
I'm curious, how do you guys make money from this?
Currently, we're not making money. We have investments to keep us afloat for the time being. But so far, we've been focused on building the core platform. So we went live with our first version, which was essentially just a very basic user profile. And that was 10 months ago. So in the 10 months that we've been working on this, we've been focused on building the core platform. And we're getting to a point now that it has a lot of good functionality. The base platform is really nice and works, and also getting users in the door, so people to sign up and try it and give us feedback, and hopefully people will get value out of it by using it. So that's been the focus, and currently we're at 1200 something people, but we intend to turn towards more organizations when we get a little bit more users. We'll try to get money for basically helping them hire people. In our matchmaking service, for example, would be a subscription service where you could match up with potential candidates if you're a studio. So yeah, that's the plan. It would be a subscription service, but there's a free option always for both sides.
Okay, cool. So have you delivered any jobs yet? I mean, have people gotten jobs through the website? Do you have statistics on that? You don't have to give the exact numbers.
I can actually give you the exact number that we're aware of, because currently we're sending people to career sites through our site. So our kind of like insight into the process, you know, whether or not somebody actually goes through an interview process and gets hired, is non-existent right now. But we did have a recruiter that we were in touch with, and they were very happy about Semble. And they came back to us just proactively. They had no real obligation to do so, but they came back to us and told us that they had actually hired somebody that they found on Semble. So that was really kind of a crazy moment. And that was in January, so pretty recent. And there may have been others that we just don't know about, because we have, like I said, limited kind of insight into the process currently.
The way that I met Nils was actually at one of your events. So that's something that I really appreciate, that you do something in real life, because I think that's sort of rare and very valuable in the games industry, in my experience at least.
Yeah, I think it's super valuable and really fun. And it's also healthy to actually go and meet people in real life.
Exactly, touch grass.
Yeah. I mean, we're working from home, you know, since we're kind of early days and we don't have an office. It's really nice to just get out and meet people. And it's been growing a lot. So next time we'll be at a new place, Kappa Bar on Sveavägen in Stockholm. So if anybody's interested, you can find the event on Semble.gg. But yeah, it's just fun to host these events, and we want to do more of them and take it to other cities as well eventually. I think we'll do one around Nordic Game Conference in Malmö.
Right. Very nice. And I think there's some sort of symmetry or something. Your service reminds me a lot of what attracts me with Game Hub Umeå, which is sort of our home community for game making. There's a lot of the same, you know, community and helping each other out and showing what you can do, that I think attracts sort of the same audience for a similar reason. So I think there's absolutely a lot to learn from those people as well, to bring people together to be able to create stuff, basically.
Yeah, it's really good, you know, for making new friends, of course, also networking, sharing war stories or ideas and knowledge. I think it's really valuable. You know, at the end of the day, making games is really difficult, hence why I haven't made one, I guess. But it also requires a lot of different disciplines and different skill sets. So being able to share knowledge between them, between people, I think is super valuable.
Yeah, I would say to that point, you and me both, I have yet to release my game, so I know it can be. But looking forward into the future, what would you want Semble to become, say, for example, in 10 years, given that you had unlimited resources, or it goes exactly the way that you wanted to?
Yeah, well, that would be rare. It never happens that way in my experience, but let's say that it does for once. First of all, we want to build this platform to be a companion to every game. And the way I always think about it is like a companion in a video game, where, you know, they follow you along and help you out when you need it at different steps along your journey, right? That's how I think about Semble, but for the people building games. So that's one part, just a kind of career networking site where it's anything related to your game career. This is the home for it. But then also want to build this gig marketplace so that you can start making money in different ways on Semble, whether it's for full-time employment down to helping out on a project for a couple of weeks. And then also this courses marketplace, so that you can actually fill in the blanks in your journey. Let's say maybe you don't have a nearby gaming education program. Maybe you can get started on Semble and then apply to a school once you learned a little bit more, or you want to switch to another kind of discipline, you could reskill or upskill through it as well. And then for longer, we want to be global. Right now we're focused on the Nordics, but like I said earlier, it's open for anyone anywhere to sign up. We want to go to Europe and North America and then the rest of the world. And in the really long-term vision, I would like for Semble to be a partner throughout your entire career, all the way to publishing games as well. So a kind of indie publisher would be really awesome to support people that have a dream and might not find that support somewhere else. We can hopefully be that kind of partner for you. But yeah, that's the long-term vision, helping people realize their game-making dreams.
Yeah. And something else to sort of switch gears and jump back to the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, back to reality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're entering this industry from kind of a different angle from what I've experienced in the past. So coming from the advertisement direction and having worked with these giant titles in San Fran of all places, is there something you can see in, for example, the Swedish game market and see that people are doing wrong with marketing, or something that people should be doing, or what are some experiences that you can bring with you when you do a game?
Yeah, maybe I can just share some general kind of knowledge that I've gained through 10 years of working in advertising. But first of all, I kind of left advertising because I was fed up with it. So we have no plans on creating a bunch of ad space on Semble. That's not a business model that I want to have on Semble, just for the record. One thing that I think might be different or difficult for people to kind of come to terms with, especially in game development, I've seen on like Reddit and Discord when people discuss marketing, is that your game is your creation, right? And you worked on it for a very long time and it comes from a personal space. It may be a hard pill to swallow, but you're probably like the person who cares the most. And you might be, until people get to know about it, the only one who cares if you're a small team. So you just have to remove that kind of ego part from the process and just realize that people are probably going to see your ad or whatever it is you do to market your game in just a few seconds. So you need to like convey quickly, what is the gist of your game? What is the essence of it? It might be hard to kind of get to this space because you have so much love for this game and so much knowledge about it that you kind of want to tell everyone all the amazing things about your game. But I would just try to boil it down to like, what is the one thing that I should care about as somebody who's never seen your game and will probably see like 100 ads today? Like, what is the one thing that you can tell me in 3 seconds or show me? And that's a really difficult kind of skill, honestly, to tune. It is learnable, but it really boils down to removing ego and just boiling it down to its core. So hopefully that's helpful for people, because it's really an uncomfortable process, especially if it's your personal project.
My last couple of trailers, I tried to, because when you release games on Switch, for example, you have to have that sort of age restriction thing, and then it's a Switch thingy, and then I just tend to go straight into action to, because I read somewhere that like now our attention span is only like 8 seconds.
Yeah, and I would say that it's probably lower now because of TikTok.
Oh yeah, true that. Yeah. But after the age restriction thing and the Switch click thingy, that's already like 5 seconds or something like that. So I tend to make mine like straight into the action just to try to get your attention. But I hate doing this because I think it's just like misrepresent the game in every way.
Yeah.
But I do know myself as well, when I'm watching, especially a Japanese trailer tend to be, I feel like Japanese trailers are really slow in the beginning, like a black screen with a text, maybe like once upon a time or whatever.
Yeah, that's not really the most eye-catching thing, maybe. But it is logically, if you're telling a story, you're really like gravitating towards that kind of structure where you're like, and in the beginning there was this thing, blah, blah, blah. But like if you're just scrolling on a social feed, you're moving, right? And you just got to get that hook in, and then you can stagger and up-level your marketing. So your first point of contact as a potential player of this game is very short, right? But then if it's successful, they might want to find out more information, and maybe there's a slightly longer trailer, and then a full trailer, and then there's a website where they can explore more information. So I think it's really valuable to think of these things as a kind of funnel, rather than like, it's not Boolean where it's like either they love the game or they don't. Can you get their curiosity? Can you increase that curiosity? And can you over time make them really enthusiastic about it? But it's really hard to start on that enthusiasm.
Yeah, another sad thing about being so passionate about your own game, for example, with my latest game, Knife Boy, I spoiled so much in the trailer because I had no marketing, no money for it, or no PR. Mm-hmm. It was just like the trailer that you see on the Switch store. And it was just like I showed off so much stuff in the game, which I personally wanted to be a surprise for the player. But I also know that if I'm going to get the player at all, I have to show what the game has to offer. And I felt like, it's just sad that I basically spoiled so many things.
Yeah, but that might also come back to the personal relationship you have to the game and your like expectation of what it's like to play the game. But
that's what I was going to say. It goes back to what you said there. When you love your game, you see it from a different point of view. So my personal view is like, I shouldn't spoil these things. These are so amazing that you can do this and that. But maybe the gamers don't care. They don't give a fuck about the things that I think is the coolest parts.
Yeah, and I think that's really personal and very different. But if you think about it, like, for example, if let's say there's a big single player title, very story driven, right, that comes out and people watch it on Twitch because it has a price tag where it's like, oh, I have to think about if I want to buy this game. Mm-hmm. And then you watch maybe your favorite streamer play it for an hour or two, and then you're like, oh, I'm really hooked. But then I quit watching because now I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to buy this now. Even though I know a bit of the story, I want to like find out the rest for myself. So we just live in this like age of transparency in terms of content. So you kind of just have to some extent at least accept that and then use it to your advantage where you're just like revealing just enough for them to be curious and start playing it, and then they want to kind of find out the rest themselves. It's almost like demos of games where you might play through one level, but then there's 9 more levels. So the same kind of thinking you can approach your content marketing with. Just one last thing that I've seen that personally has worked on me. If you're a smaller developer or a smaller development team, posting regular updates of like just a short GIF or a video of some piece from your game. Maybe it's just like a new mechanic that you're trying out or have created or things like that. It's almost like early access, but just getting not actually to play it, but to follow the journey. And I bought a lot of games that I've followed on Twitter or Reddit or wherever. And I see every few months that they post something. And then when it finally comes out, I'm there because I've seen that kind of behind the scenes experience and gotten like the teaser out of that. And then I'm curious enough to actually go and buy it. So that's worked for me.
I was going to say with demos, I remember playing Uncharted 1 back in the day. It had a demo on PlayStation 3 and I thought it was garbage. So demos can definitely backfire, but I don't know if I'm in a minority here, but I didn't like it at all. And then I picked it up eventually when it was like super discounted and it became one of my favorite franchises during PlayStation 3 and 4.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to release a demo necessarily, but rather like the concept of a demo, but for your marketing. So you give people a slice of what you're building or taste for it, right? And then once they've seen it a little bit and they're curious,
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to try to start making blogs and stuff like Odo, and we have another guest who's going to come on the show who also make blogs. Yeah. He has like a lot of followings on his blogs. So it's definitely something that seems to work. And like you said, you also like to check out people, the process while they're making the game. So that's something I was thinking about doing now this time around. It's just that I hate the PR stuff. I think it's so boring to make these videos and all that. I just want to make the game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of game developers feel the same. So you're definitely not like the odd one out.
Yeah.
And it is a craft that's difficult and might be uncomfortable to learn.
One thing I noticed though, when I scroll through my phone, there are these games, sort of puzzle games. It's some guy and then there's a dragon and he end up in the belly and you're supposed to pull some swords left and right to make the coins fall down and there's a beast there, whatever. And he always screw up. So I'm sitting there watching this ad, like, my for fuck's sake, come on, not that sword, you fucking idiot. And then I want to download a game just because I get angry at whoever, whatever moron is playing the game. But then I'm like, yeah, that's probably how they get you, because they play like a fucking noob. And then people like me is like, oh, these idiots, I'm going to show them.
Yeah, they've really targeted the backseat gamers.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that too in my game, because you can sort of date people in the game. So I was thinking, if I had like three options, let's say you talk to a guy or a girl and she's like, "Yeah, you want to meet up on Friday?" And then you have three options. One is, yeah. And one is like, fuck you or whatever. And then you don't show what happens when you press the button. So then maybe the person watching is like, "Oh, I wonder what happens if you press fuck you or whatever." So it's sort of like tease them like that. The same way I get teased when these puzzle people play like shit. But I think it's supposed to be like that, because it definitely hooks me. Now, mobile games are garbage anyway, because they're just full of ads, so you can't play them, in my opinion. But I have downloaded games in the past when they play like garbage, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to download this and play it. And then you play one level, and then there's this annoying ads, and then I just uninstall the app altogether.
Yeah, there's definitely many approaches to marketing, but I think the one that I always recommend is just being honest and just showing what is the fun thing about this thing, or why should I care? If you just think about, like, walk up to somebody on the street, they have 3 seconds of your time. Why should they care about what you're doing? It's brutal and it's uncomfortable, but once you kind of accept that and learn to master it, it really takes your marketing to another level, I think.
I agree with what you are saying, but there's a way of marketing that I've been thinking about that I want to do for my games in the future, is that it might sound counterintuitive, but the thing that you would do is that the first goal of the commercial is to entertain, and the second one is to sell the product. So, for example, the ICA commercials in Sweden, or a more international example, so the trailer from Dead Island 2 from 8 years ago.
Yeah. Or like Dollar Shave Club. Online marketing is like any other type of content. It needs to entertain. And then it needs to inform.
Exactly. But take, for example, Dead Island 2. I didn't even like the first game, but I can't wait for the second one because the trailer from 8 years ago is still so funny. Like, there's a jogger who is listening to music, and in the background, the world is ending and he doesn't realize it because he's still listening to music, and then slowly becomes zombie. And then at the end, there's somebody who drives him over and cuts his legs off with the car. And then he takes the leg stumps with the shoes on because the shoes are still nice. So he takes those off, and it's sort of funny. And my theory is that that stays in your memory a lot longer than seeing gameplay, for example, because you've seen gameplay in trailers before, but if something is scary or funny, or there's like a 2-second video of a dog in the game who looks sad or something, then you have an emotional connection to it, which will last a lot longer than anything else you can do, is my theory.
Yeah, basically the difference between marketing and advertising, at least in my opinion, is logic versus emotion. So marketing, for example, is saying like, oh, there's a new soda that comes out on this date and it's really delicious because it has this flavor and it costs this much. And you should get it because this many people like it. Whereas advertising would be more like, oh, it's a hot summer's day and you're at the park and it's an amazing time and you're with your friends, but wouldn't it be nice also to have the ultimate thirst quencher, right? So it's more playing to your nostalgia, to your emotions, and that kind of like more primal set of you as a person. But I think you can get that out of gameplay as well. Just to kind of go back to the clips of work in progress games that I was alluding to earlier, sometimes they are very like straightforward. They're like, oh, we made this new thing and it works like this. But the ones that are the most effective over time actually mix it up. So they might have a kind of show and tell kind of thing, but then there might be a funny bug that they recorded and they just show that. And it comes back to honesty, like this is what it's like to build a game, but there's this humor and a kind of funny moment in it as well, which I really like. So you can get it through both, but there's no illusions that emotions is very powerful when it comes to marketing and advertising.
And I think with that, we should start wrapping it up. But is there anything else you want to promote or anything before we end the episode?
Yeah, if you're either working in game development or are interested in doing so at some point in your life, then Assemble might be a great place to join other game developers and people in the game industry. We're just getting started, but our ambitions, like you heard earlier, are big, and it's a great community. And you can find it at www.semble.gg, Assemble. And we also have an upcoming event, a meetup here in Stockholm. So if you want to join that, you can find it on Assemble as well. But yeah, that's my plug, my marketing for the day.
Cool.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. And thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Rune, for a fantastic intro and being my co-host as always.
Thank you.
And see you next week.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.